Just want to let everyone know that over on the sidebar is some lemonade and some iced tea. The iced tea is black, but there's sweetener there. So just help yourself throughout the course of the afternoon. And we're going to go ahead and get started.
Okay. Okay, excellent. Well, we're going to carry on with seeing. Oh, yeah, okay. Sort of going now, right. Yeah, okay, it's all right. Okay, yeah. So we're going to look at seeing in the Spirit, so the language of the Spirit, how God communicates with us, how we communicate with Him. It's two-way, always two-way. You know, how the spirit realm communicates, because there is a realm of the Spirit. We call it the realm of the kingdom. You know, how does that communicate? So what in that realm is there that we can communicate with or see? So a lot of people are, well, not a lot of people, because they're at the bottom of the triangle, but seers. Some people can see. You know, they're born seers, they're prophetic seers, they see things. The next level of seeing is gift of distinguishing of spirits. So you can distinguish between one sort of spirit or another. And so, well, what sort of spirits? Well, our spirit, Holy Spirit, demonic spirit, fallen angel spirit, any other sort of spirit, we need to be able to assume which one is it. Otherwise, we're potentially in danger. Well, what spirit is speaking to us? So we need to discern who we're speaking to and how it works. But everybody can discern through training their senses. Everybody, without limit. So it doesn't matter whether you're not born as a seer, you can be developed as a seer. So that everybody can actually learn to use a distinguishing gift and to become to see and engage by practice, by just learning to build your spirit to learn. I don't know why God gives some people spiritual gifts to be able to see just straight away. Seems a bit unfair to me, but it took me ages to develop mine. But through practice, you can. You know, it does work. Okay. So basically, God has given us all the capacity to see physically, spiritually, and heavenly. So the spiritual realm and the heavenly realm are not the same. Because the spiritual realm is around us, the realm of heaven is not. In one sense, we can step into it because it's there, but we don't see heaven just by looking around in this room. But we can see the realm of the spirit by looking around in the room. Because there is a spiritual realm that's here, that's why there are angels here, and we can learn to tune into that realm. We're all responsible to develop that capacity. It's our responsibility to train. God has given us the capacity to do it, but if we're going to use it, we have to develop it. And the same with any other skill or any other thing you do, we're all responsible to practice to become better. Some people are very skilled at a sport, but they're not necessarily the ones who win. It's those that are willing to be disciplined enough to work through it, to use their skills with discipline and practice and training, who are usually the ones who win. You know, there's a lot of people sort of this thing, well, it looks very easy to some people on the surface, but they don't know what level of practice has gone in behind it. Yeah. So all of us are then responsible to use these abilities. You know, it's sad if someone has an ability that you don't use. And Jesus said, you know, with about the parable of the talents, what happens if you bury your talent? Well, it gets given away and someone else benefits from it. And that's certainly not God's desire. He wants all of us to benefit from this. So we can see, hear, engage. So we can hear God's voice because we're his sheep and says his sheep hear his voice. But we can also actually see what he's doing because that's how Jesus did everything. He saw what the Father was doing. So you have physical eyes and ears and senses. You have soul. Your soul has senses. They're our conscience, imagination, our reason. So we can call them the ears, the eyes, the voice of the soul. But your spirit also has senses. Spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, spiritual thoughts. because your spirit can communicate. And we need to understand how to use that. So how do we see in the spiritual realm? How does God communicate with us? How do we hear God's voice? How do we see what God's doing? They're all things that we have to learn. And most of it is frequency, vibration, and resonance. Everything operates through frequency. Everything's vibrating at a particular frequency. You know, my body is, the organs in my body are. When they're operating at a lower frequency, then I'm not well. So we need to make sure our frequency is right. And the best way of doing that is called resonance. And resonance is where two frequencies come together and they come into agreement. And when a major key resonance comes with a minor key resonance, then one comes in another. And you can test this with two tuning forks and have one in a major and minor key, and you sort of tune it for, and they become one. And the same thing with resonance is when you have a guitar and you put another guitar next to it and you pluck one string and the other one will play without it being touched, because it picks up the vibrational frequency and begins to resonate with it. So when we come close to God, who is vibrating at a frequency, let's say, because God is light, and light is, has a wavelength and a frequency. And when we come close enough to him, then we begin to come into harmony with him, if you like. You know, it's that harmonious sound, but you have to get close enough. You know, if you're far away, then the frequency doesn't affect you. So it's important to come close. So understanding light and sound and how they work help us to understand communication. So everything, whether it's seen or unseen, is energy vibrating at particular frequencies. That means the spiritual realm, the known universe as we see it, our bodies, each organ. DNA has its own song. Unfortunately, it was created in chaos because it brought two lots of 22 autosomes from parents and chromosomes together. And actually, you can send your DNA as a sample of blood to a lab in one of the universities in the US, and they will actually play the song because they have developed text, some sort of computer software, which will actually turn the deep frequency of the DNA into a song. But it's a song which is in chaos, not a song which has come out of unity. So we need to then come back into alignment with our eternal frequency, which will begin to bring us into alignment with God. So our thoughts and emotions themselves have frequency, which can be picked up. And actually, when you're sensitive, or sometimes not even sensitive, you just sort of by accident do it sometimes, you can walk into a room and you can feel the atmosphere. You can sense when someone's emotions are being given off, even without looking at their body language. And often that's just involuntary, it just happens. But you can learn how to directly tune into it and look at it. Now, Jesus said that he knew the intentions of people's hearts, the thoughts of their hearts. So when the Pharisees were plotting, he said that he knew their thoughts and intentions. So if he did that, then so can we, because we can do everything that he did. So a key to understanding how to receive and interpret those vibrations, we have to understand how to do it. So resonance brings revelation and transformation. So when we come into proximity with God and we begin to come into harmony with him, it changes us and transforms us to become like him. Because that's his intention, that we were made to be conformed into his image. That was always God's eternal perspective, that he predestined us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So to do that, we have to get close enough. Another thing is what you look like, what you look at, you become like. So what you behold, you become. So if you're looking at rubbish things all the time, then that will have a reflection in your life. If you think of, the word says, you know, think of these things, think of those things which are above. Think of these good things and pleasant things. When you start thinking and focusing on those things, you become like them. They become expressed in you. But, you know, how much do we spend looking at negative things? You know, and we need to be careful what we're viewing. You know, the eyes are the windows of the soul. So what we see and what we listen to will have an effect on who we are. It will affect how we feel. So it's important that we're really careful what we're actually looking at. You know, our conscious thoughts, our consciousness itself, our emotions have a frequency and therefore the abilities that we need to learn how to use. We need to learn how to use these abilities. I was watching a film on the way over in the plane. When I get a chance to sit down, I've watched 4 films in a row. It was great. All science fiction films. One of them was called Lucy. And in this film, this girl, there was this scientist who was basically said, we normally use 10% of our brain power. And this girl got hooked up to this stuff, and it changed how she used her brain. And eventually, she used 100% of her brain. But in the process, she got to do all these cool things. I mean, it's like, you know, for you ladies, she got to change her hair just by thought and the color of it. And, you know, because she could control everything, because she could control the frequency and vibration of everything, because her brain had the capacity. It was just never wired up that way to learn, because we've lost those abilities, those bandwidth abilities to connect with different bandwidths of light and sound. Adam had it. When he fell, he lost certain abilities. Then after that, they had more abilities, and at the fall, at the flood, they lost another bandwidth of light, because before that, they were able to use light and sound. They lost that ability, and then they could only see the 7 colors of the rainbow. So the covenant of the rainbow was not just to say, well, this is a pretty thing, that God won't do this again. It was a reminder that they'd lost something. And then when it came to the Tower of Babel, where they were all come together to look to a tower to get into heaven, which, you know, wasn't looking a physical tower. There's a whole lot built more behind that. But actually, God confused their language. He didn't just confuse their language. He removed a bandwidth that could use sound to move and move things. Now they're using technology to do the same. They've built things that you can use sounds to levitate something. You know, you can see it on YouTube. It's like they use particular sounds and it actually does that. And then there's sounds, when you put things over it, it produces swirling things that produces patterns just by sound. But we should have those abilities restored to use sounds in a productive way. So words, color, music, they all have frequency. And our body is actually designed to be a receiver of information, data, both from the physical and the spiritual world. So our whole body was designed to be able to pick up frequency and vibration. Now, we normally do that through the ear and the eye, but there are other things in our body that enable us to do it. So our body is an amplifier of frequency and vibration and wavelengths and electromagnetic energy. So it's designed to receive it, amplify it, and pass it to the brain so we can interpret it. But we've mostly lost that or not focused on it. So everything we do is interpreted in the brain as electrical signals transmitted by neurons and synapses, everything. What we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we touch, what we smell, all gets interpreted in the brain as just electrical impulses. Now, that's how God designed it. So he designed us to be able to interpret those signals and understand them. Now, we've learned to interpret the normal ones because no one else ever told us to interpret the other ones. So physical sound and light, the soul's thoughts and imagination, spiritual thoughts, revelation, intuition. There are 3 neurological areas in our body that send and receive information. Most people think the brain is the most potent one. It isn't. The heart gives off about 10 times or 12 times more electrical impulses than the brain. So the brain you can detect about 12 inches away. The heart, something like 10 feet. Now, you think, well, why? Well, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, our conscious mind operates in the brain, but our subconscious mind operates in the heart. So as we think in the heart, that's what we become. And all the storage of memories and things is stored in the heart, not the brain. So there are 3 areas. The physical brain. Heart, subconscious mind and soul, and the gut, our innermost being. And actually the gut itself has neurological things to transmit. We think about, you know, gut instincts, gut feeling. We use terms like that, but actually it is true. So you can receive information from the physical world. We know that. I'm not sure that's the right thing. Am I sort of there or not? Okay. You can receive information from your own consciousness. Let me see where I am. Oh, right, yeah. And your spirit itself, who is your sort of eternal self, who God created you in eternity, can also receive and send information. We just need to learn to tune in to each of them to see. So we can see the unseen realm, because that gives off information that we can pick up in our spirit, and then our spirit communicates with us. Again, no one really told us how to do it. Now God is unveiling that so we can do it. So the eternal heavenly realm operates at a frequency, a vibration that we can tune into and begin to perceive and engage in. Oops. Now, so, oops, that's where I was going. How far did I go on that? Okay, so you have to basically tune in. It's like in this room, there are lots of signals lying around in the air. We can't see them, but we can tune into them, turn on a radio receiver, and you see things. But you have to pick up the right frequencies, and we can do that by training our senses to do it. So Hebrews 5:14 again, through practice we train. Practice, practice, practice. Practice requires exercise, repetition that produces greater strength and abilities and skill with use. So the more you practice, the more you train, the better it gets. Now, as I said this morning, you know, we have a tendency to want to get it by shortcut, you know, because we're living a microwave age. Push a button and everything gets cooked. But microwave food does not taste as nice as long, slow-cooked food. You know, there's something about cooking it properly which is so different. And the same is in this. You know, if we want it easy and we go the shortcut routes, we never get the results at the end of the day. You know, God wants us to learn how to receive these things in a much better way. So essentially, our eyes see. So an image, light gets off, reflected off the image of things, it comes in our brain upside down, sends a signal, and our brain interprets it the right way up. So you are in my brain right now upside down. But I don't see you as upside down because I've learned to flip that thing in my brain so it isn't upside down. Now, how did I do that? Well, I didn't do it, did I? It just happened as I grew and I looked. So I learned how to do it because I just did it. So we've learned to be spatially aware of the physical world in that way. Our ear, same thing. Sound waves picked up by the ear. The eardrum is vibrating, passes it to the auditory nerve. And as a result of that, we've learned to actually learn to get... It's not really very... So it's not working there. Now I've gone. We've learned to interpret pressure waves, because that's all sound is, waves of pressure in the air. We've learned to actually interpret it as sound, music, language. How do we do that? Through practice. Now, a baby doesn't know language to start with. Only after it hears it over and over and over and over again does it begin to learn what that sound means. And the same in the realm of the spirit. We practice over and over again and we learn to interpret what that is. Okay, so our brain itself, you know, has all those firing neurons and things that are going on. Literally, our consciousness is a series of electrical impulses in our synapses passing between neural pathways, and the brain just interprets those thoughts and understands. You know, I can't remember when I was 6 months old what my thoughts were like. I can remember really quite early in my life. And I certainly remembered things when I went back to look at how my life developed. I went back into the womb to see some of the things that happened to me. You know, why I was always like I was, and some of the things that had been said over me when I was in the womb. Because I wanted to be free from those things when I was looking to clear my gateways. And I went back not just to when I was born, but beyond. which was really interesting. But we can learn to interpret those thoughts. So, the eyes of our heart, our imagination forms directly in on our mind in a screen. That's the eyes of our heart, our imagination. And Paul said, he prays that our eyes would be open so that we would know. So we need the eyes of our heart open if we're going to know. The eyes of our spirit, seeing in our spirit, is the same thing, but it's translated, interpreted by our brain. So our spirit communicates to our brain through vibration and frequency in the body. And we learn to interpret it. But of course it's separated, because we're born in sin and iniquity and separated from our spirit until it's born again. Therefore, we've not learnt that. But we can. Whoops. Okay. So again, practice to train. So God said and God saw. So there's a very strong correlation between light and sound. The key is understanding how to hear God's voice and see what he's doing. So we need to learn how to do that. So the question is, are we a passive or an active receiver? Because we can all be a passive receiver. Sometimes God communicates to us and we just receive it. But if you look to receive it, then you're more likely to. So we can become an active receiver. So we look to engage the area we're in, look to engage the realm of the spirit. You know, that takes choice, and it takes us being deliberate in that choice so we can learn how to do it. This is really not working very well. Okay. That is a picture of what we can see and the spectrum of light, and you can see that that's that very small little line in the middle of that diagram. Everything else, increasing wavelength and increasing frequency, you can't actually see. But it exists. Radio waves exist. TV waves exist. You just need to tune into them. Microwaves exist. Infrared radiation exists. As does ultraviolet. You know, I go out into the sun, I was sitting out in the sun yesterday, and I felt the effects of ultraviolet radiation. I couldn't see it, but I felt it. X-rays. Well, we see the results of X-rays, but we can't see them, but we certainly are affected by them, because they're damaging to our cells if we're prolonged exposure to them, but we couldn't see. Gamma rays, cosmic rays, think of the realm of the spirit and the angelic realm is operating at a frequency which is way beyond that, that you can't see, but you can tune into. And that will sort of give you a picture of really how we need to learn. Now, I think, I can't remember, Ian Clayton, who sort of does a lot of this sort of teaching, he said that if you put those seven colors of the spectrum on a piano keyboard, the seven keys, the rest of what you can't see would go from here to the moon. So 250,000 miles with all in comparison to what we can see. So most of the world that exists, we're unaware of. But it's around us all the time. We just need to learn to tune into it and begin to understand it from a better perspective. Hearing, the human ear can pick up frequencies down to sort of about 20 in terms of hertz, or up to sort of 10,000, but actually a bat can go up to nearly 100,000. A whale can go even higher than that. Dogs, well, we know dogs hear high frequencies, don't we? Because we blow a dog whistle, which we can't hear, but they can. So there are lots of frequencies that are there beyond our natural hearing, but are potentially available to actually pick up in the realm of the spirit. So our eyes and ears have certain capacity, but it goes beyond that. Our spirit is capable of discerning wavelengths which our eyes aren't and our ears aren't. So it's really important that we actually learn to train them to do so. So the spirit can interpret and describe what it perceives. And a lot of this is about perception. What do I mean by perception? Well, perception really means seeing, but not in a visual form. We say, well, I see. When someone says, do you understand? Yeah, I see. So we use it in common language, and actually that's what it is, a perceiving and understanding, not just a vision. A lot of people get caught up on this stuff because they really want to have full-blown Technicolor movies in their encounters, and very few people do. Doesn't mean they can't see. We just have to make sure we tune into the way we're supposed to see, and that might be very different. It may well be different for us because we may well tune into it by strong impressions, or for me, knowing. See, I know things. You know that you know that you know. So my spirit communicates in a way that describes to me what I need to know. So when I switch on and look over you and I can see all the angelic realm and the things that are coming off you and stuff like that, I can't see it with my eyes. I can't see it in my imagination because I've got my eyes open. But my spirit is seeing it and my spirit is telling me what's here. So when I see angels, very rarely do I see angels in the physical realm, although occasionally they do manifest, and it says in Hebrews that we should be careful because we can entertain and host angels unawares because they can look very human. Majority of them haven't got wings. So I've learned to see certain things like that. I can close my eyes and then sometimes that projection comes and I can see in that realm, but most of the time I want my eyes open to be aware of what's going on. So I've trained it to actually see. You know, so signals are basically passed to my brain so that I can understand and distinguish between the spiritual realm. So I know when something's good or bad because I've discerned it. So I see and hear and engage in other realms and other dimensions because I can tune into them and receive it. So both within our souls and our spirit and the external dimensions, they're all around us. See, my spirit is a dimensional place. It isn't limited by my body. My soul also is. That's why I have a heart and a garden which I can go into, because it's a dimensional place I can go into and engage. Because it's not physical. You can't see it, can you? You can't see emotion. You can't see love. But you can certainly feel it. And it actually can have a major impact on you in that you can be sensitive to it. It can actually make you laugh. It can make you cry. All those things can affect us because we receive them in our emotions, but you can't see any of them. So all these things have a major impact. We just need to learn to begin to engage, and it will help. So our whole body is actually vibrating at a frequency. The whole planet is vibrating at a frequency. And a while ago, people were saying we need to be in tune with the planet and come into the vibrational frequency of the planet. Don't. The planet is vibrating at a frequency which is too low because it's out of sync with heaven. So you don't want to align yourself with a low frequency. We should be vibrating at a high frequency. The highest frequency of vibration is love. And when we vibrate at that frequency, then we should realign this planet and change its frequency to bring health and wholeness and blessing back into it. Our body is made up of 68% water and our brain 80% water. Water has the capacity to transmit vibrations, sound frequencies, 4 times faster than the air. So our body is very sensitive to vibration frequencies. And our spirit resides in a membrane over our brain and down our spinal column, separate from our blood, connected to our central nervous system. And so it's designed to pick up all the frequencies that are amplified by our body and interpret them. Now, you need to learn this stuff because it will help you understand how to tune in. So the ear, effectively, is completely vibrating all the time. It vibrates continually from when you're born until you die and even afterwards. It still vibrates. So it's very sensitive in changes to vibrational frequency, and actually the ear is connected to nearly every other organ of the body via auditory nerves other than the spleen. So our whole body is designed to give us information. So we should be in tune with ourselves. So if we're feeling low in an area, we should be sensitive to what area it is. Is there an organ which is not vibrating at the right frequency? Now, a lot of people now in the Christian circles are beginning to understand frequency, and they're using essential oils and other things like that to raise frequency. And they put that in, on people's bodies and things, and it raises the body frequency. Because we need to understand that we are all vibrating in that way. So our whole body is a detector of, or an amplifier of sound. So our spirit can become sensitive to what God is saying and see what God is doing and what the enemy's doing, although I'm not really bothered looking into that realm. But you can. Some people are more sensitive to it. I'm sort of not interested. But you can. So this room literally is filled with signals and sound and light. That some can be seen and some can't be seen. Some can be heard, some can't be heard. But they're all here. So there are angelic beings here. Most people just haven't become sensitive to them because they've not learned how to look. So I can tune my spirit and soul to tune in to see, hear, and feel what my general body can't necessarily. So my brain interprets those signals and decodes them so that I can experience them. And we can all learn to do the same. It's just a matter of practice. So how many people have ever said, I've sensed the atmosphere? Or I can feel the atmosphere? Yeah. So how did you do that? Don't know, is the answer, generally. Because you just have the ability, and sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. You know, you can cut the atmosphere with a knife, you know, when there's tension. And kids pick it up a lot. They come in, your parents have had an argument, and they walk in and they feel it. And they're like, woo, and often they do. They're sort of out of there. Because they don't like it, because it's tension. Sometimes we feel cold chill, a shivers in certain places. It's because things are stored in the fabric of that place. Everything that goes on in this room today is stored within the fabric of this building. Because everything has the capacity within its frequency and within itself to store information. So everything gets stored. Light, sound gets absorbed into this building. Certain places where very negative things take place, you feel them. Certain places which are filled with good things, actually you feel them. Places of peace. You go into a place and it's just like, wow, it feels peaceful. Well, you're picking up those senses because you have the ability to do it, but they're usually involuntary because they're untrained. So if we train them, then we can actually look and see what our natural eyes can. So train our spirits to discern and engage those frequencies. You know, happens when we engage it. Now, I was asking God, well, how can I explain this to people? And because I learned how to do it sort of by accident. You know, I was sort of practicing an exercise one day of, well, how can I see with my eyes closed? You know, can I see the room with my eyes closed? And I was doing it on Sunday morning while we were worshiping. So I was closing my eyes and opening them. I want to see. You know, and all of a sudden I had this flash with my eyes closed of the room. And I wasn't seeing it as it was. I could see all these things in it. You know, it's like, whoa. You know, and it was like, well, how did I do that? You know, and that was the thing. I was like, how did I do that? So I thought, okay, well, I was doing this, I was doing that. And eventually it was like, okay, I practice and I learned how to do it. And God said it's like spiritual radar or sonar. With sonar, you send out a ping into the water, which travels faster than the air, and then it pings it back when it hits something, and you have a receiver that shows a little image, you know, submarine films and things. And you see these little images. What was one I used to watch and things? One that was, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. That was the one when I was a kid. You used to see Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, and they used to have phones or whatever it was called on there, and it's like, you used to do this stuff. And it's like, so if my spirit can send out a ping, because my spirit can engage, then it can receive back information, and that information can be interpreted so I can see what's in the room. So I learned, I practiced, you know, and I've taught a load of other people to do it. And if you keep practicing, you can learn to do it. You know, I learned then to have to switch it off because it was too much. You know, I mean, I don't want to see into people's hearts all the time and see things. You know, it's like, it's really, really distracting. I just want to, you know, I'm a normal guy. I mean, some of this stuff sounds a bit weird. I like watching sports. I love movies. You know, I'm a really normal guy. I mean, I'm not sort of like floating around in the air all the time. You know, I want to engage heaven so I can see the kingdom of heaven on earth. You know, I want to see us fulfilling our purpose. So I learn this stuff because it helps me do it. You know, so all of us can do it. All of us can learn. We just have to learn and practice in such a way that helps us do it. You know, William Branham, who I think was sort of up in this area somewhere, I was told up Seattle End, had been up there. He was able to determine disease by frequency. He would touch someone's hand, feel vibrations, and know what organ was not vibrating correctly, and then able to speak into it and bring healing. You know, so he was given the ability to do that. You know, so all of us can, we just have to begin to practice. See, in the Hebrew understanding of language, seeing and hearing encompasses all the senses. It's not limited to just one. So we can see with our eyes, and it connects to any sensation. Same we hear with our ears, you know, our eyes, tongue, skin, senses, mental, spiritual perception. Essentially, it really all is the same. You know, and even I was saying earlier, you know, our alpha brainwaves are slower and more spiritually sensitive than beta waves because they have a different capacity. And I was sort of looking into this and looking at brain waves and things, so, well, how does this work? And they were doing a lot of work on sleep and sleep patterns, and they found that certain people had what was called alpha wave intrusions into their sleep, into their delta wave sleep. And it was like the spirit was communicating them while they were asleep because they were spiritual inputs. And they found that these people would wake up with solutions to problems and inventions and amazing things because it was like the spirit intruded into the person's sleep and into when that wave was at the right place and actually brought truth and revelation, you know. So I think, oh, well, how do I get that one to work? You know, it'd be really nice to wake up with a witty invention and, you know, sell it for a few billion pounds and fund the gospel around the world. It'd be great, wouldn't it? You know, but some people are doing it. You know, I mean, I've read books and things, and there's one guy who woke up with an invention about how to make a monostructured bow and arrow, because usually it used to be two things together, connected, and he came up with a plan, just given a plan in a dream, woke up and actually made it and sold the plan because he was a worship leader and he really felt called to minister and he couldn't do it because he had a sort of job where he was tied to a place. And he was given this picture plan. He sold the rights to it and basically it funded his whole ministry. You know, we have to be open, you know, to more than what we can see, taste, touch. You know, God can give us witty inventions. He can open up our mind to things beyond what we can imagine or think and change things as a result of it. So we need to begin to expand our consciousness, expand the possibilities of who we are as sons of God, made in the image of God, who is a creative God. So he wants us to know who we really are. You know, 1 Corinthians 2:6 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord as if no one has, that he will instruct him?" But then it says, but we have the mind of Christ. So if we have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ must be how big? How much do you think that the mind of Christ knows? Let's sort of say maybe an infinite amount of knowledge. And we have the mind of Christ because he lives in us. And go beyond that, we have the omnipotent God, all-powerful God in us. We have the omniscient God, the all-knowing God in us, and we have the omnipresent God in us. So what does that give us access to? Everything and everywhere beyond time and space and dimension, which is why you can go back into time and space. And people are doing it. You know, I've been working with people, you know, for quite a few years, a couple of years now, really, in terms of online, and, you know, I love their testimonies. You know, they come because they ask me if this is okay. And I'm thinking, okay? It's like, woo, we should be all doing that. You know, and it's like one of the things, there was three people, And, you know, I was teaching them about how to step into heaven, and so they were practicing together. So they stepped into heaven together, three of them. And they all stepped in, and they found themselves in a complete vision, all in it. They went back to sometime in, I think it was something like, they thought it was something like 1750 or something like that. And they were all dressed in the right clothes, everything. And they were in front of this house, and they went up, knocked the door. In the house, there was a baby who was dying on death's door. And they went into the house, they ministered to the baby. The baby was instantly healed. Parents had been crying out to God. There was no one who was a healer who could come and do that. So God took three people who stepped into the realm of heaven and used them, because they were available, to go back into that time and heal the person. Now they asked me, is that okay? I'm like, are you really serious? And then they said, well, how did it work? Did we change time? I said, well, no, of course you didn't change time. You've always been used. It's just you now. It was them then, but you had access to them now. So God has always used you, but you only know it now. They experienced it then, because we have access to time. I was talking to another lady. I think it was someone here. I was talking about someone who went back to Pearl Harbor. Yeah, it's about that one. I mean, it's like these things are available. They're there. You know, we just have to start to believe and to expand the limits that religion has put on us and take off the limits, so that our conscious understanding of who we are as children of God just begins to expand out, because there are dimensions out there that we need to engage. You know, so it's amazing stuff, and we have all that within us. No wonder Paul prayed in Ephesians 1:18, I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, opened, so that you will know. We need to know these things by experience, because that's who God has created us to be. You know, to experience these things so the eyes of our heart, our imagination can engage, the eyes of our spirit can engage, so that we can actually enter in and engage these things. God communicates to us all the time through a constant spontaneous flow through the Spirit. We just don't listen because we're so busy. We're so busy. You know, God is speaking all the time, and yet sometimes they're like a fleeting thought that passes our mind, that if you don't grab onto it, is gone. And you've missed the opportunity because you're focused on something else. Now, if we learn to tune into all those little thoughts that were coming and respond to them, everything would be so different. And you hear stories of people who hear God and they were told to drive down this street and go three lefts and then four rights and end up on this door with a yellow door, a knock on the door, and there was this person that they were going to minister to. Well, where do you think those thoughts came from? They came from thoughts that, I mean, how many of us would have thought, forget, oh, it's nonsense, I must have eaten too much cheese or something. It's like, but they learned to tune in, and God led them, and they did it, and then they prayed for the person gets saved or healed, because they listened to tune into the thoughts of God. God's thoughts are all the time. And if we tune out all the stuff around us, so tune into those thoughts, then it will change how we live. Totally. Get this to work. Okay. So, spirit sensations are received really as those spontaneous flow to the heart, to the soul, different things. Now, when we relax, more blood does flow to the right hemisphere of our brain, and therefore a relaxed person are more easily, readily able to occupy those creative parts of the brain. That's why we're supposed to come from a place of rest. See, we should always be relaxed. Never worried, never anxious, never fretful, because we're in a place of rest because he's on the throne and we're trusting him. So we can live from rest. Therefore, we should be always able to communicate and receive, because we're in a place of thought rest. But often that's not the case, is it? We say, oh, how do I do this? Oh, no. What if, what if, what if, what if? And it's all this stuff. And, you know, there is enough mercy and grace for every single day that you live. It's given you like the manna in the wilderness every day in the morning. And if you keep thinking about yesterday, you'll use it up before the end of the day. Or if you keep thinking about tomorrow, you'll use it up. It's for today. And Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All those things that everyone else in the world goes around worrying about. Where am I going to live? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? You know, all those things. And yet, if we seek first the kingdom, he promises to look after us and do all those things. I've got a deal with him. My deal with him is, I seek first your kingdom and you look after all those other things. I haven't got time to do what a lot of other people do, because I'm really, really busy. I don't see it as busyness. I just see it as doing whatever God's calling me to do. But I don't have time to do certain other things. So I hold him to that. And if things start going wrong that I need to fix or go to attention, I tell him, hey, that's your part of the deal. You know? And I mean, the other day, I mean, a few weeks ago, my car exhaust started rattling, and it was like as if the bracket was broken or something. It was, you know, I put up with it for a while, and then I was annoyed. And then when my wife said, what's that rattling? I thought, oh. But my first thought was, oh, I need to go to the garage. But then I actually thought, no, I don't. I need to actually speak to my exhaust and tell it to stop rattling. And I put up with it because I didn't really think about it. And I did. So I just said to my exhaust, stop rattling. And I got in the car the next day and it hasn't rattled since. You know? So sometimes it's like God will do things for us if we let him. You know, rather than, well, I've got to do it. You know, I'm not responsible for all those things because the word says he is. You know, and I know someone, I know a lady who's got some property, and she uses that property to help fund the ministry that she does. And she's exactly the same thing. God, I'm seeking first your kingdom. This is helping me in my ministry, but you need to look after those places. You know, and she rents them out and different things. And usually when you rent places out, there's potential things. It's like she had one of the agents she rents out through said to her, look, you need to sort this property out, because it's like the people, last people in it have really wrecked it. So she was like, well, that's not right. And she has this same deal with God. So she basically said, God, you need to sort that out. So she went around to see it, and it was perfectly okay. And I mean, the estate agent actually thought that she'd painted it and decorated it and cleaned it up. She went around, and it was completely changed. You know, but that's the sort of stuff you can do, you see, when you're beginning to engage in this realm, and you're trusting God, and you actually do believe that he will do these things. If you don't believe, he won't. Because it's by faith. You know, we live by faith and walk by faith and not by sight. So I can look at something and think, well, that's a wreck. But my faith and my spirit says God promises it isn't a wreck. So will that change it being a wreck? Yes. If I look in faith rather than in sight. So we just have to learn how to do those things. You know. So God's language, the flow of thoughts and pictures and words and impressions, received and interpreted in our brains, on the screen of our imagination. When we seek God, divine revelation flows. It flows through our soul, from our spirit, to our conscious understanding, and we know. How did we know before? Because it didn't flow. So we know by revelation when there's a flow of it. We've talked about the flow of revelation. Well, we need to tune into that flow. And then as we tune into it, we will be able to understand it, and then we will be able to live according to it. I want to live according to revelation, not stuff that I know. You know, and there's things in heaven where you can get revelation as a download. You know, I was talking to Ian Clayton, and Ian Clayton, you know, is into this stuff in a big time. And he was basically saying that he went into this book room in heaven, and he's read this book on welding, because there's books about everything there. You know, he read this book on how to weld, and he didn't know how to weld. And he read this book, and he came back, and he welded, you know, and he makes cars and puts things together. And he goes and gets the blueprints for them in heaven. And it's like, I have no real desire to weld at all. But I went into that book room once, and God knows me really, really well, because I could only actually see one book. It was dark. Everything was dark in that room. It was. I knew the whole room was full of the library of the universe. You know, the record room, book room of heaven. And I was only allowed to see one book. Because if I could see all of them, I would have never come out. I wouldn't. I mean, my soul was so inquisitive, I would have been like, wow, look at all this. So God knew very well to limit what I could see. Because he knows me. You know, he knows exactly what I'm like. You know, so visions are really an example of spirit-to-brain communication. A vision comes. Well, how does it come? Through the spirit, but it's interpreted as something you see in the brain. The small, still voice in the inside. What is that? You know it. You understand it. So it's some sort of frequency that's heard as thoughts in your mind. That small, still voice that guides and directs. Your conscience speaking to you. Don't do that. Or do that. Because it not only protects, but it directs when you tune into it. You know, intuition. You know, how many people have had intuition? You just knew something. And sometimes it protected you. You know, you find all over the world that people don't get on planes that are going to crash when they should have done. Because they have intuition. Something in their spirit connects with something that gives them information. And they respond to it. Or if they don't, then they're going against their gut instincts and intuition. And it's not a good thing. You know, seeing is tuning in to those frequencies so that that communication is something that we can then understand. And again, practice. Everything works by practice. You know, tongues is another example of spirit to brain, heart, gut communication. Because tongues vibrates with it all. Because it is a vibrational frequency when you speak it, which aligns you with the realm of the spirit. You know, so pray in tongues as much as you possibly can and get your spirit doing it and active in it all the time. The language of the spirit. You know, your spiritual language is how you speak to God. So your spirit is communicating with God all the time. You know, you just really didn't really learn to actually perceive it and understand it. When I was praying in tongues, it's like, you know, you can get interpretation of tongues in meetings and things like that. You know, I was saying, okay, well, what am I praying all the time? Because I mean, I was praying in tongues for hours and hours and hours. So, well, what am I praying? Show me. So we'll start praying in English. So I start praying in English, and it was the interpretation of what I was. So you can have English tongues if you're an English speaker. Because when you pray and you're not thinking about what you're praying, where is it coming from? Your spirit. You know, I don't think, oh, well, I'm going to pray now. I'm going to write it out before I pray. It's just a flow that comes out of your spirit, and you're releasing a flow, and you're starting to call things and speak to things. That's just what we're looking to do in a more intense way. You know, and that tongue can be the language of men and angels. We know that. You know, the gifts of the spirit, you know, they flow, you know, and tongues is a key exercise in building up so the gifts of the spirit flow. We can see things without understanding. And a lot of people do see things and they don't understand because they've not really learned to tune into how God really sort of communicates with us. See, revelation gives understanding. So just having information is not the same as having revelation. So what I would encourage you to do in all these sort of exercises and practicing and looking to engage in a more intimate way is to ensure that when you don't understand something, go back and talk to God about it so you get understanding. Don't just say, oh, I didn't understand that. That's what happened when Jesus taught in parables. He taught in parables to actually see who is more interested to go back and find out what that parable meant. And whenever someone, his disciples came up and said, will you show us what that means? Right, you know, parable of the sower, and he interpreted it and showed them what it meant. They could have basically said, oh, I don't really understand that. Then you wouldn't have it written in the Bible what the interpretation is because they wouldn't have asked and it wouldn't have got recorded. So they asked. So ask. You know, I'm serious. When you don't understand anything with God, ask God. Don't ask me. You know, people online now who ask me things, I don't tell them. I used to, until God said, no, don't become a mediator. Point them to me. So, you know, I can give a man a fish, and he'll have a meal, or I can teach him to fish, and he will have a lifetime supply of food. So I don't interpret dreams anymore, or interpret things, unless God actually says. Sometimes God gives me permission, and I will. But I don't want to be someone between God and man. That's what the religious system does. It puts someone between us and God, and we can't see God because we have to go through a person who has to tell us what to do because we're not responsible to do what we want. No, we've got direct responsibility before God. He'll tell us what to do. We don't need to go through anyone else. You know, church government, and if I ever get onto it, it'll be a subject. But it's not something that sits over the top of people. It's something that's underneath people to release people to all look to God. Any covering system within church government is demonic. I might offend people in that, but it really is. Because it's Old Testament mediatorial rather than New Covenant. The veil is open. We can walk in and access. All of us are there. And leadership, I mean, I'm a leader. It's like I respect and honor leadership, but leadership should be servant-hearted leadership who's foundational to people, to release people into their destinies, not over the top of people, so that people can never get higher than them. You know, a leader's ceiling should be the people's floor, to go higher and higher. Because if you're underneath and you're all looking to the same God, everyone's looking up. If you're above, everyone's looking to you. And then they're looking to you to tell them what to do. And then there's bad attitudes the other way around as well. Well, we pay the pastor. You know, he should hear God for us. We pay him to go and hear God and tell us in our sermon what he's there to bring. Well, I know that people have that attitude. You know, I've heard them say it. So it's like, well, we give him money, he does it for us. Why should we go to heaven when he's paid to do it? You know, it's like, we get these things in the religious system out there, both ways. Because actually, some people don't want to take responsibility for their own life and doing what God's called them to do. They'd rather someone else tell them what to do. Well, we're all responsible to go and hear God for ourselves. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. We need to have the same relationship where we see what the Father's doing, but people would rather someone else find out from God. I once preached a sermon behind a curtain just to illustrate the fact that I wasn't going to go beyond the veil and talk to somebody. They need to go, you know, and I sort of opened it up and I said, look, this is open for everyone. It's not just for me to go in there and tell you what God is saying. It's like I'm opening up so all of us can go in here, and I'm not going to tell you what God said. You need to find out what God's saying. You know, so anyway, that was a rabbit trail, but so, and when we get an interpretation, don't just stop with interpretation and revelation, get application. What do you want me to do with this? You're showing me this, you're revealing what it means, now what am I responsible to do? Because God isn't going to show you something to do nothing with it. He's going to show it with you so you can see what to do. You know, and that's, again, really, really important. Yeah. Oops. Now, when you're kids, you're generally sensitive to these things. And often kids get criticized for doing these things. You know, you're just imagining that. It's all in your imagination. You know, that's just a figment of your imagination. And it shuts children down rather than encourage them. Many children see angels. And then they go to school and it's trained out of them because they're not encouraged to be creative in their thinking. And we need to encourage our children. And if they do say that they saw something, ask them about it. And then train them to see what are the good things and what aren't the good things. You know, rather than annoying it. So when we're passive, then some things happen when we get a vision and dream. When we're active, we can use our imagination as a doorway to go into things. Passive equals thoughts, pictures projected from God in dreams and visions on our imagination. And anyone who says they don't have an imagination, and you say, well, have you ever had a word from God? Have you ever had a picture from God? They say, oh, yeah. I say, well, of course you've got imagination. Where do you think you saw it? That's where you see it, on your imagination. There's a big battleground on this in the church wide, because it's okay for God to inspire things, seemingly, but not okay for us to use it, to activate things. And so, and it's very, very deceptive, because some of these people are engaging in heaven themselves, and now they're trying to stop people going there by activating their imagination to enter. So be very careful in what you listen to, because God wants us to be active and to choose to do these things. And we can choose. He's given us the choice to step into heaven or not step into heaven, to see or not see. Oops. Okay. Oh. So usually you activate your imagination by thinking about it. This, everything starts with a thought. You know, you started with a thought in the mind or heart of God, which is a lovely thing to go back and find all the wonderful thoughts he has about you. You know. So then you focus that thinking to seeing. So I'm thinking about a door, so I'm going to see a door. So I close my eyes to see. You know, then sometimes memories or images appear when you start to think about something and focus on it. You know, dreams operate that way. Where do you get a dream from? Well, it happens in your mind, doesn't it? As a picture, as a thing, which you remember sometimes when you wake up. Usually the ones from God are the ones you remember. Yeah, I don't actually have too many dreams, to be honest, that I remember, because God speaks to me direct. He doesn't really need to do it that way. So, 2 Corinthians 4:18 again, fix our eyes on what is, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. So we need to look at the realm which is more real than this one. Because the spiritual realm is what created everything. Everything came out of the spiritual realm. God created everything that is seen out of unseen, it says in Hebrews. So we also can do the same thing. See creativity come out of what is unseen. So look into and perceive that realm. Mark 8:18 says, having eyes you do not see. So obviously everyone's got open real eyes, so they can see. So what was he talking about? Well, we all have natural eyes, but they don't see the unseen realm. We all have spiritual eyes, but are they open and functioning? That's something we have to ask ourselves, and whether we're willing to open them. So in order to see, you've got to look. Now, it sounds really obvious, but actually it isn't, because most people aren't looking. Daniel 7:2 said, I was looking in my vision. So he was having a vision, and he was looking in his vision. He wasn't just having a vision, and it was like, oh, gone, forget it. He was looking, and then in verse 9, it says, I kept looking. And then in verse 13, it says, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold. So he looked, he kept looking, and then behold. In other words, he then saw. He began to see something more from what he was looking at. So keep looking is the thing. Habakkuk 2, I will stand on the guard post, station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me. So he was looking to see how he could engage with God. You know, Mark Werkler does a wonderful book about how to hear the voice of God using that scripture in four parts about the four keys of how to see. We have to watch and look if we're going to see. And God wants us to do that. So are we passive? Are we active? How do we learn to be active? Look, basically. There is an active spirit round all around you right now. It's a realm around you right now. The presence of God's here. Angels are here. Can't see any demons here, but you might have a few lurking somewhere inside, but I can't tell. I'm not looking at that. So we need to actually fix our eyes and look into that realm to see or perceive it, and we're going to practice doing that. Now, our imagination is the screen where that comes. God's visions and projections are there. We're going to actually learn how to do it ourselves. So that is like, okay, there's a screen. There's vision being projected, best I could come up with in terms of a picture. And there's the eyes of our spirit looking from the other side. What generally happens is that that's black when we look with the eyes of our spirit. So we need to actually see how we tune it in and activate it so it isn't black. It needs to be illuminated. Because when you close your eyes, it's black. Sometimes when there are bright lights, you can see sort of impression of lights, but generally speaking, it's black. So when you go to sleep, you're looking for a black screen. And when your body sees a black screen, it goes, sleep. Because nothing there, is there? But I actually want to go to sleep and not have a black screen. I want to go to sleep while my body goes to rest and I actually engage in what I'm seeing, which is what I do every night. Basically engage there and my spirit goes and activates heaven. People tell me all the time that they see me in heaven, you know, because my spirit's there all the time doing things. Well, I'm doing things here. You know, and they thought, well, what was I doing? When I say, I mean, what was I doing? Because I'm not always cognitively aware of what I'm doing, because my spirit's available for God to do whatever. Often when I then focus and then tune in, and I'm actively looking to do something deliberately, or go on a mountain or go to a court, then I activate it. But my spirit's there all the time. You know, someone told me the other day that they saw me in this, and it was like I had this thing on, and I had this robe, and I was doing this, that, and the other. And so I thought, that sounds really interesting. I wonder what I was doing. So I actually started to think about it, started to engage it, and then I went into it and I found out what I was doing. I actually had I was given something specifically to do, and I found out what it was. Because I used what she shared as a doorway to go back into it and to experience it. And I found out, you know, what I was doing in the realm of heaven. Usually I know when I'm actively doing it because I choose to go in and do it. So what if that screen wasn't black by default? What if it's just become black? What if it's actually a viewing portal to see in the unseen realms? What if it's a doorway and a portal to step into the unseen realm? How do we access that portal? Well, we can. Originally, Adam, being made in the image of God, had the capacity to see and move spiritually. How do I know that? Well, A, I went and asked him and talked to him about quite a lot of things. B, it says in a word, he could see and engage with God in the garden in Eden because God walked with him in the cool of the day. He went and hid in the bushes. Do you think he would have hidden away if he couldn't have seen God? Yeah, he saw and heard. So he could engage with God. He could see Satan. He engaged in the spiritual realm because he was capacity to do it, which has been lost. God wants to restore that to us. You know, Adam and Eve did not need to do what they did and hide in the bushes. That was a choice based on their choice to follow the wrong path, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If they'd chosen at that point to follow the right path, which was to the tree of life and to the eternal realm, they would not have passed on sin to everybody because God would have forgiven them, but they chose not to go through the two cherubim and the fiery sword and to go and put fig leaves on themselves and cover up. Enoch walked through that fiery sword to engage heaven. They could have done, but they didn't, which is so sad for us. But now Christ, of course, has opened this whole thing up from what he's done on the cross. They were excluded to the tree of life, but now Jesus has opened it up because he's defeated Satan on the cross, overcome everything Adam lost, and restored it to us so that we can now access that realm. So the angelic realm, the heavenly realm is open. Now when Jesus opened that veil, read the book of Acts, how many angels were involved? All the time, angelic engagement, because the veil was open, the realm between heaven and earth was open, the angels were involved. Over the years, that religious veil got put over us. You know, it's a film that I really like called The Matrix, and it's described in there, the world has been pulled over your eyes. The religious world has been pulled over our eyes so we can't see what is there for us to see. And it's veiled us and stopped us seeing. We need to see that religious veil removed so that we can see what we're supposed to see in our inheritance in God in the fullness of it. So that veil of darkness, it's going, on our eyes has been removed. Paul, John, Stephen, they saw. Acts 7:55, being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Stephen, on earth, seeing and engaging. All of us can do the same. And, oops, that scripture there, Acts 7:55 that is. So, Matthew 27:51, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Only God could have torn it from top to bottom. But it's open. Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, I would love to be able to teach you about the order of Melchizedek and all that, but maybe another time. I've got lots of teaching on it. But he is after the order of Melchizedek, and he's entered into the veil for us so we can enter because there is no veil anymore. It's been torn. Oops. Okay, there we go. So there are four realms of the Spirit we can actually engage in and with and learn to see into. Realm of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is in this room engaging. He knows everything that's going on in your hearts. And he can tell other people through gifts of knowledge and words of knowledge what's going on. That's his realm, and that's he does it as he wills. We've got no forcing him to do anything. He does what he wills, as it says. But there's also the realm of the personal angelic, where angels are around you and with you, and your atmosphere, and we use this word aura, because it's all a bad word, you can't use that, but in reality it's all there, it's just your atmosphere, what you're giving off. Now I can see when people are giving off good atmospheres, and I really don't look like this now in this realm, because actually I could be really put off if you've got bad attitudes, you know. So I look, whenever I look at this, I look at all the people who are smiling. Because it's really encouraging when you see smiling people. It's like, rather than people looking at you, it's like, you know. So I look at those who are going to encourage me in what I'm doing. So, but there's the realm of the angelic in this room. You know, there are angels in this room right now. You know, they're all your angels, which are around your personal realm, but there are angels in this room. You know, as I said earlier, they're not yet landed fully, but they're going to. They're watching and waiting to see when they can come so you can engage them. You know, so you have to welcome them. You know, you need to know the angel of the church here. Every church needs to know the angel that's assigned to their church, because you cooperate and work. You know, I don't have to clear the atmosphere over meetings. The angel of the church does that. I just give him permission. You know, our angel, I mean, I've got several of them now, but it's like, you know, our main angel, I mean, it's like, it's about 75 feet tall, you know, and it's got a face of a lion and an eagle. And people, sometimes the people who are sensitive, they just see his legs, because he's like huge, you know, and we've not got a very tall building sort of in terms of roof. So sometimes people are like, what am I seeing? So we'll describe it. Oh, it's just the angel. It's like, no, don't worry, you know. But we need to be in tune with that realm, because they're ministering spirits sent to minister to us who are the heirs of salvation. So we can tune in and then cooperate with them. You know, and that cooperation then enables us to engage the eternal realm of heaven, so we can also see into the realm of heaven, which is what Stephen was seeing, what John saw. He saw into the realm of heaven, then stepped into the realm of heaven. And that's exactly what God wants us to do, to see and step into the realm of heaven. So let's learn to do it. So we learn to tune in from the inside out, rather than the outside in. Everything else comes from the outside in, but everything in this realm comes from the inside out. So we learn to see from the inside, we learn to hear from the inside, we learn to feel from the inside, we learn to be guided from the inside, we learn to smell from the inside. You can smell spiritual fragrances. They must be spiritual fragrances, because some people can't smell them. Because we have, lots of times, we have angelic fragrances in the room, in certain parts of the room, and you sort of walk past it and you get this perfume fragrance, and sometimes it's like, so who can smell that? And some people can and some people can't. So it's obviously not their natural nose that's picking up the smell. So there's you can smell from a different way. You know, when we had, you know, revival meetings, you know, we had 87 days of revival meetings in 2011. It's like just amazing experiences of God, which is really sort of the year after I had this fast and opened up this realm. It's like we had God show up in a big way for 87 days. We just, night after night. And I had just manifestations of these fragrances. Now, I'm not a sort of guy who really likes smells. You know, perfume, my wife wears perfume. I was oblivious. Don't even smell it. It's just not my thing. You know, she's like, well, don't I smell nice? Don't know. But I'm sort of ministering to people, and it's like all of a sudden I get this incredibly intense smell, like really fragrantly, I mean amazingly beautiful smell. And I'm sort of like, where is this coming from? So I'm like, is it over here? So I move around somewhere else in the room. No, it's still there. So I move somewhere else, it's still there. And I said, well, actually it's on me. So I looked at my hands and they had this sheen of oil all over them with this incredible perfume smell. So I started sort of touching people with it, and they just got filled with the smell. And as they got touched with the smell, it started to actually open up around for them to engage, because they could smell it. You know, this was an actual smell coming out of that realm somewhere. But we can learn to smell and to touch and taste, and we can learn to connect to everything from the inside out. Okay. Let's going to do it. Now, here's a real key scripture for anyone who says, well, how do you do this? How can you do it? Should you do it? Well, is Elisha, And Elisha's in this pretty difficult situation where he's surrounded by this huge army, and his servant is getting rather worried, whereas Elisha is not worried at all. Now, you don't need to be worried at all when you know what's around you. So he said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. In that spiritual realm, which he couldn't see, and then he could see. So there's a way of praying to maybe open their eyes. Now I'm going to pray. So I encourage you to close your eyes and just begin to set the heart's desire towards this. If you want to see in the realm of the Spirit, then you have to set your heart's desire and choose. So I declare that the veil of blindness is going to be removed. I declare the removal of all religious veils and mindsets that hide us from the truth. I declare that you can discover the true reality of the real world. I declare that the eyes of your spirit be open. And I declare that you can see and engage in the unseen realms. Now, if you look at the screen, there is a picture of a black curtain. If you close your eyes, that's probably sort of the thing you're going to see. Black. Okay? But I want you to think of a hand touching that curtain. And then I want you to think of a curtain being pulled open, because it's already torn, it just needs pulling back. And then I want you to see it being open and open and open. And if you want to get a picture of that, then you can look at the screen, and there are the pictures there, which will give you something to tune into if you struggle to actually tune in. Okay? So now I want you to close your eyes, and now we're going to do this. So think about that black screen. Just close your eyes and then see the black screen, which is really, really easy. Everyone can do that because it's usually black. Now, then I want you to hold your hand in front of your face and open your eyes and quickly look at your hand, and then close your eyes again. And can you still see your hand? Probably not. So open them, look more intently, look at what your hand looked like, close it. Then open it. Now begin to picture your hand. And see your hand by choice reaching out to that black screen that's in front of you. Now just pull back the veil. Just use your hand figuratively on that screen to pull back the veil. Now, as you pull it back, just begin to sense. You may see light. You may sense, as you pull it back, something. Just start to tune and engage with that realm that's opening up. You may become sensitive to the spiritual realm around you. You may actually, some people see right into the realm of heaven when they pull back the curtain. You may just see the angelic realm in the room. So just focus your attention right now to let your spirit engage with the spiritual environment that's here in this room. And just begin to sense, see, perceive, or just know what's here. As you're just tuning in, just consciously choose to send out a ping from your spirit. Just let a wave of thought go from you to engage that realm. And it's going to come back as an echo of whatever's in the room. Whatever you need to see right now. And just allow your body to receive that echo as it will be interpreted in your mind to show you what's going on spiritually in the room. Now, as you become sensitive, I want you to really focus your attention on your own personal angels. All of you have at least two angels that I can see standing behind you. They always stand behind us because they never want to take center stage or attention from God. So they stand behind us. So just start to sense and allow your spirit to engage with them. You may sense them as a color or sometimes as an emotion. Often they're very like you because they've spent all their life with you, with your life. And they're usually dressed and look like areas of you and who you are, sometimes with weapons, sometimes with colors. Just begin to engage and sense. And if you can engage that far, then just ask them what their names are. Because they will really want you to personally know them. Because their name is a really important thing to the function that someone has in the realm of heaven. I can see a lot of smiling angels right now. Because most of them are sad that you never really met them or learned to engage them. They're not always humanoid looking, by the way. One of my angels is a white winged horse. One of my friend's angels is like a dog. This place of rest and peace, and you've opened your eyes in the spirit to begin to see, then God would want you to take another step. Revelation 4:1, behold, I see a door standing open in heaven, and a voice which I heard like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. Now I believe God is speaking to you, saying right now, come up here. So if you need a visual to connect with that, then on the screen there's a picture of some steps walking up into heaven, just like Jacob's ladder. And standing in the doorway, waiting to welcome you, is Jesus. So hear that invitation to come up here in your spirit, and just by choice, by faith, choose to walk up those steps in the spirit and to step through the veil which is open into the realm of the kingdom. as you come into the presence of Jesus, just present yourself to him as a living sacrifice. Just surrender. Just sense the atmosphere of heaven, how different it is. Feel the freedom and the glory of heaven. Just breathe it in. Just breathe in the atmosphere of heaven. Now I'm just going to ask Jesus, will you just take each person by the hand here and just take them somewhere in the realm of heaven that you want to show them, that they will have a fresh revelation of you, and you'll open up the realm of heaven for each person. So just be open right now to allow Jesus to take you by the hand, lead you into a fresh place that he wants to reveal to you right now. You may sense it, feel it, see it, but just open up your heart and let him be your guide. Just begin to prepare your hearts, and remember, this is just a doorway that you can use as your testimony to begin to enter in every day to experience all that God has for you within your own spirit, the garden of your own heart, and within his realm, in the kingdom, in the realms of heaven. as you revisit and use this doorway to open up future encounters. God will just unlock the realms of the Spirit and the realms of heaven to you. So now just step back and step back into this realm. Unless you want to stay where you are, that's fine. Okay. Well, now, if you struggle with that, don't worry. You know, a lot of people struggle when they start. You know, you have to begin practice and learn. But it will open up as you begin to just put these things into practice, and God will unveil and reveal so much more to you, because there's just way more beyond what we can imagine or think. There always is with God. So there we go. I don't know if you want to finish now. We haven't got time for another session, but if there are any questions or anything, I'm always open for questions. We've got a few minutes if you want to do some questions. Is that okay? Okay. So. Everyone's probably too spaced out. I haven't personally, but sometimes I've thought about it myself. It's like, it's so good there. Yeah, people do get lost in wonder and awe in the amazing things that are there in God. And, you know, heaven is a multiversed environment. In other words, it's designed just for you. And you'll see things differently from other people because it's created so you can engage. And you can have personal intimacy in it, because God's purpose in it is for you to engage in your eternal destiny and to outwork that. So God's treating you specially. All of us are, you know, and therefore, within the realms of heaven, everything's possible. So every possible environment exists, and we can tune into them, particularly for us. You know? And so that's why sometimes it is, you know, a wondrous place, you know, to experience and engage. Yeah. Basically, if someone was, I mean, the same thing as I do every night, you know, I close my eyes and I enter into a realm and I surrender and submit myself to God in that realm, and then I go to sleep. And it's the same thing. It's just like, picture a place of special intimacy and go and sit with God in it. That might be a place you know in the natural realm. It could be a place like the garden of your own heart and the secret place you built there. But just come to that place of peace, rest with him, and then just enter into it. Okay. Can you take someone with you? Yeah, I take people with me all the time in terms of exercises and things. You can take people into the realm of heaven with you if you carry them in your heart. You can't really access a lot that you don't carry in your heart. So, you know, I carry my wife and my children in my heart. So whenever I step in, they're stepping in with me. But you have to create that in your heart. It's not just like, oh, well, I'll put them in my heart. It's got to be a real desire. And you can only do that within the sphere that you have. You know, I can't step outside. Now, I've got a big sphere. You know, one of the things God did with me, you know, I didn't share the encounter because we didn't, my testimony would have run into a third session. I thought, well, better stop there. But a couple of years ago, I was having an experience with him and just spending time with him, and he took me out into the solar system and showed me the world. And it was a sort of soccer ball size, not a football size, because it would have been oval for you, but it's a soccer ball size. And I sort of looked at it, and it was not spinning. just could see one set of time zones, and he just said, take it into your heart. Now, I knew what that meant, and I knew there were implications for it, so I weighed that, and I'd already been weighing it and resisting, and this was like, no, this is serious. So I did. I took the world, I put it into my heart, and it totally changed my whole perspective on what I'm called to do and how I'm called to engage, and my willingness to engage with people all over the world, and my willingness to help and serve in every way I can, which is why, you know, when I do engage with people around the world, it's always their agenda and not mine. It's always so I can help. You know, that's why I'll answer, you know, 100 questions on the same subject over and over again, because if someone needs to know, I want to help them find the answer. You know, and so, you know, yeah, I mean, you can carry things in your heart, because when you do, it changes your attitude towards them, and you become sensitive to them. If I, you know, when I really practice it, I can become sensitive to what's going on at home, because I carry my wife in my heart. So if things are going on with her, then if she's in my heart, then I'm going to be sensitive. No, often then I will just pray, release an angel. It's like, okay, something's going on. I'll send out God's protection around her, you know, because I carry her there. You know, you can't carry too many things in your heart, but you need to carry the right things in your heart. And depending on who you, what you're called to do, you'll be able to have the capacity to take whatever into your heart that is assigned and aligned with your destiny. So, yeah. Any other questions? Anyone's got anything? Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a difference. Heaven, the kingdom of God is within us, as it says in Luke. So that's the realm where God rules, is in our spirit. But there's also a kingdom of God realm of heaven, because it talks about the heavenly realms. In the heavenlies. So it's not just heaven as a big thing. There are realms. And you go through the different veils, because there's the veil of the way. And this is represented after the tabernacle, the temple, the outer court, inner court, holy of holies. You know, it's holy place, holy of holies. And they were separated by veils, the veil of the way, the truth, and the life. So when Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and the life, you know, we don't culturally understand what he was saying. He was saying, I am the way into heaven. I am the way into God. And it was like for them, that's why he stirred them up so much by saying things like that. So they knew that you could go into the realms through the veils of the way, truth, and life. And heaven itself is actually patterned after that. So you have an outer court, which is the kingdom of God. You have inner court, which is the kingdom of heaven. And you have Holy of Holies, which is heaven. So there are three realms. And then beyond that, you have heaven of heavens, perfection, and eternity. So they're all spiritual realms which are different from one another. And so in the realm of the kingdom of God, you have all your mountains and thrones and where you're supposed to rule as a lord. And when you're faithful in your lordship and you begin to administrate there the kingdom and your seven mountain spheres and begin to govern your own life, often people are then given a role in the realm of the kingdom of heaven, which is to bring kingship. And so you begin to have access to different courts there, which is the court of chancellors and the court of scribes, and you have a level of authority which is increased. And sometimes you get given a crown and a scepter and a mantle in the kingdom of God, and you get that on your throne, and you get into the kingdom of heaven, and you get given an orb, which is a sign of legislation, that you can change legislation rather than just administering legislation. And then ultimately, you can go into heaven itself as a son and be seated with him in that heavenly place. And it's like you have mountains are places of authority, but the throne is who you are in that place. So your throne is like mobile. So your throne is a position, and you can have that in different realms that you can enter into. And there are different things that go on in those different realms and different courts and different structures. You know, I mean, I didn't know any of that until I started going back into it to find out where they were and to go through those veils. And you go through those veils by yielding. presenting yourself as a living sacrifice so that you enter in, and then he begins to then use you in fulfilling his will and purpose, you know, as Lord, King, Son. So they are different. And, you know, everything about the garden of God and the mountain of God are all in heaven. So throne of grace, tree of life, judgment seat of Christ, throne room, temple room, you know, different, all different places. Tabernacle with the Holy of Holies is in that place. And so there's the relationship that you have there, and there's the government that you have there. And they're different, but they're all accessible to us once we begin to tune into this realm and live there. You know, and it's amazing the things you learn and what you get accessible to once you begin to continue to live this as a lifestyle. You know, we're not pursuing experience. We're looking for relationship with God himself, and therefore in relationship with him as his sons, begin to administer that to answer the groan of creation. You know, it's like the whole of creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. They're waiting for us to be in that place where we engage, you know, where we engage the ark of the presence of God. I mean, I would have loved to have been able to do that whole teaching. I may do it tomorrow morning, of how to engage the ark and get a mandate and then get your throne. And, you know, because that's what God wants. You know, we come to him and in focus on his name, because that whole Yod, He, Vav, He, the name of God. The high priest, when he went into the Holy of Holies once a year to take the sin of Israel in there, went and they put all smoke in there and everything else so that he wouldn't be crisped up. But he went in there so that he could enter in. So he would begin to sing or chant the names of God. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, because they weren't allowed to even write it that way. It was the Tetragrammaton was that way down rather than that way for them. So Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, which is the name of God. We call it Jehovah or Yahweh because we try and put letters in there to make it easier to say, but it's actually Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, and you actually sing that or speak it, and God's presence manifests between the wings of the cherubim and ark. You know, one cherubim gave up his role, didn't he, and left Satan, and so we get to go and make the ark to see the presence of God come, you know. And then we can look into the presence of God and look into the four faces, lion, ox, eagle, man, which is his method of government, kingly, priestly, apostolic, prophetic, kingly government, royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood, and that's the order of Melchizedek. Royal priesthood, forming an ark in heaven to release blueprints on the earth, apostolic and prophetic foundations on the earth as a reflection of the government of heaven to see the kingdom released and people released into their destiny. So there's a lot of really interesting stuff. You know, I'd love to be able to teach you it all, but not this time. But it's like, you know, I do, for those who are, you know, really interested in following this up, when I started to take on the responsibility for what God wanted me to do and engage with people reactively, not just proactively, and reach out and look to help people. Some of that was I had another vision, exactly the same thing, taken out into the atmosphere, saw the world, and it's like it was spinning around, and it's like, and then I saw all these lights coming all over, like little lights, dots and lights, and I was like, wow, and then it stopped spinning. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? And then it started spinning the opposite direction. And God said, we're coming to the point where there's a pause, and the government of God is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven, with heavenly government, which is a reflection of the earthly, is a reflection of heavenly. So it's not like that, it's like that. And that actually will bring a release. So I took that into my heart, and now I'm sort of wanting to see a government established, see heavenly government. And that's what I'm doing here in the Northwest. It's very much about government, because I think the Northwest is so significant for the rest of the US and the world. I mean, you might think, well, that's a bit weird. God said, I said, well, why? And he said, well, because the last will be first and the first will be last. And he said, you need to get to the north gate, because the north gate is where the enemy always seeks to access. And, you know, what God will do in this region in terms of heavenly government will be a pattern for the rest of the U.S., and it will link up with the southeast, because I'm going to travel from here down to the southeast to Atlanta with a group down there. And I know that's significant because God totally engineered it happening with the southwest, with the northeast. And there will be, you know, I had a vision that I was in heaven and God showed me this pattern which would form a central government in the atmosphere. And we're not talking about people who are doing this stuff who are sort of well-known, earthly, great people. God is looking for willing people, nameless, faceless people who don't care about anyone knowing, who is willing to administrate on those thrones in heaven to see things change on the earth. And some people may never know what they're doing, but they will release other people to establish cities of refuge all over this region. I mean, there are so many cities of refuge that God is going to raise up over this region. But he's looking for government. He's looking for those who are willing to say, I'm willing to be part of a government that reflects heaven. And it's called a bench of three, a Beit Din. And it's what the synagogue was patterned after. They had three representing Father, Son, and Spirit who are in heaven ruling from their throne on the mountain of God. On earth, you have three, a bench of three, who are the foundations, apostolic and prophetically. I'm not talking about fivefold ministry gifts, but heavenly, carrying the full government of heaven and the full word of heaven to a blueprint that will release people and release people into their destinies and begin to establish the government of God. Because a city of refuge is going to live under heaven. It's going to live under the government of heaven on earth as an embassy of heaven. Because an embassy lives under the laws of the country that sends it, not the country it's in. So we're going to live under the laws of heaven. That means we're going to live in health and wholeness when the world is full of sickness. We're going to live in provision when there's none. We're going to live in famine. We're going to have famine, and everyone around is going to have no food, but they're going to come to the storehouse, just like they did with Joseph. When the storehouse collected all the stores, ever the world came, because we're going to have the answers, because we're going to live under the laws of heaven, not earth, not subject to any of the things going on around us, because we're going to live under a different governmental level. But to do that, you have to establish government. And God's looking for those who are willing to be invested with heavenly authority to outwork that on the earth, to release people, not to control them. And all those mountains in the wilderness that are like that, with people on top of them covering everything else, they're all going to crumble. It's already started to happen. Yeah, unless I'm getting to sort of prophetic stuff now, but it's like, you know, I've got a whole raft of prophetic stuff about this sort of stuff. But, you know, we're in that time. You know, this year is a really significant year in the purposes of God. It's 40 years, a generation has passed since 1975, August the 8th, when Bob Jones prophesied a billionfold harvest was coming. A whole generation has passed without seeing that harvest, because people started to focus on what that harvest might be rather than preparing for the harvest to come, and are raising up a generation of mentors, which I call the Joshua generation, with those who spied out the land and are going to take everyone else in with them. And that's why God is looking for people who will be forerunners to say, yeah, I'm willing to be like Joshua. We're going to take the land and we're going to see a harvest. So cities of refuge are going to be storehouses for that harvest. So we're going to see several years, I'm not saying how many, of amazing harvest once we have the mentors ready, once we have the fathers and mothers ready for those spiritual children to come, because we're going to equip them in the stuff I'm talking about to rule. And then they're not just going to see a city of refuge as somewhere to protect them. They're going to see this as a place of conquest, because effectively we're supposed to fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion, just like Adam and Eve. And those places are going to come from gardens, if you like, on earth, overlapping with heaven and living under the atmosphere of heaven. So God's looking for people, and the majority of those people are, let's say, of older age, because God is calling people who are willing to mentor the next generation, who are not caught up with the things of the world. They've got the time, and I want to make my life count. I want to embrace my destiny. You know, because Joshua went in, and he was 80, and Caleb was like 84, and he's like, I'm still going in and out to war. Give me the high country. Well, what was the high country? Place where all the giants were. He wanted to see the spiritual forces defeated. That was Hebron. Best of the best of the best. And that's where the giants sit, where the best of the best of the best is, and that's why there's so many of them up here. You know, I can see the stuff that's operating in the realm of the kingdom of God over here. There's loads of things up there. You know, I got really disturbed up in the north of the north, up around Seattle one night. I was there. Like, I mean, I go to sleep. Nothing wakes me up. normally, 3 o'clock in the morning, I get woken up, and I'm like, there is everything going on in the atmosphere. So for me, it's like, I'm not going to deal with it. I'm going to go and look. So I go above, and I'm seeing what's going on. I could see all this activity, which I basically, you know, sort of took authority over, and then I go back to sleep. You know, and then I didn't have any more disturbed sleep for the rest of the time I was there. But there was a lot of activity going on, you know. And everyone was saying, oh, we're the worst, you know, we're the worst place in the U.S. for Christianity. It's like, we're not the Bible Belt. We're not. Well, of course God is going to come to the worst. He always has the laugh left. You know, why did he choose Saul, a persecutor, to bring the gospel to the rest of the world and write a lot of the New Testament? Because he's not going to be fooled. God is choosing his enemies to become his footstool. So he's going to choose the worst place, in one sense, because he's going to show nothing is impossible, because this is where the kingdom is going to be established. So you have a huge destiny up here, which is going to affect the rest of the nation and the rest of the world, because this pattern of government is going to be replicated everywhere. You know, and he's chosen here because it's the hardest place. And he's only looking for willing people to say, yeah, here I am. I surrender. I'll take my place. You know, not looking for a reputation, not worried what anyone thinks, not looking for earthly recognition, just wanting to be recognized in heaven. And in heaven, when you're recognized, you have the whole host of the armies of God at your disposal to begin to administer. You know, and God's doing it. You know, and those who are hungry and those who are willing will be forerunners to go in and say, come on, we can take this land. It belongs to us. Don't be part of the Moses generation who did amazing miracles and all those amazing things and yet died in the wilderness. Why? Because they saw themselves as grasshoppers in their own eyes and in the eyes of their enemy rather than giant slayers. Caleb had a different spirit, he said, and he was a giant slayer. And he wasn't fazed by giants. It was an opportunity to win and subdue and conquer and establish the best. So we're going to see it. We're going to see cities of refuge established. But government must be established first to release them and to establish them as patterns. So I'm looking for government wherever I go. And I know I'm going to find it all over. You know, and when I leave, I'm really looking for a bench of three to be established over this whole region. That's why I'm going to 4 different places. You know, I'm going, figuratively, I'm going to the north, east, the south, and west. And that's going to be a place where one person from each of those places is going to say, that's me. I'll step up and take responsibility for this region and begin to administrate it in the kingdom. You know, so someone pushed a button there. Like, stuff. Yeah. I mean, I have got 3 or 4 whole messages on all this stuff prophetically, but I haven't got time to bring them here. But, you know, some of them are available online to download on our website free of charge. But God actually called me to help people establish this lifestyle. And so we have a whole program called Engaging God on the Heavenly Pathways of Relationship and Responsibility. It's an interactive manual that you can sign up for online. Basically, you become part of a group of people all over the world who are looking to do these things from first principles. How to build your spirit, how to get into the garden of your heart, how to engage in heaven. It's all there, all the exercises, more than we did today. And people can sign up, and then eventually they get part of a mentoring group, or they can form their own mentoring groups and start helping each other by going through the material, practice together. You know, it's very flexible. But it's available online if you're interested. It's, you know, you've seen the thing. But there's some of my cards there that have got the website address, because it will help people who just want to start from the beginning to follow systematically through to learn all these things. Because we want to equip, you know, we want to equip people and get people ready for what's coming. You know, 40 years has ended. There's going to be a major shift takes place come August. Now, 3 years ago, God spoke to me and said, you need 3 years to prepare. And I'm sort of, I think this is just for us as a church at that time, because I didn't know anyone else anywhere. So, okay, church, we're going to prepare. First thing that I was inspired to do was to do a series of teaching called Transformation. I had two verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed. You know, and I did 20-part series about how to be transformed from the inside out and the outside in to remove everything so that we can fully be sons of God. So prepare us for what's coming. by bringing that process of transformation. You know, and again, it's one of those things I'd encourage you, if you feel I'm not where I should be in this, but I really want to be, that goes through everything from dealing with sin and iniquity and generational lines and seed line and bloodline and genetic transformation and DNA stuff. You know, everything's in there, that dealing with roots and fruits in a way which prepares us for what God wants. So, you know, that was a real key 3 years ago. And actually, at that point in time, prophetically, I received a book sent to me in manuscript form by Mark Verkler, and it's called Heaven Touching Earth. And he basically said, I'm sending this book out because I want to do something very similar to what Martin Luther did when he pinned a 95 theses to the Wittenberg door in Germany, to the church door, for a change and a reformation of the church. And he said, I'm going to post this on the internet, our thing, and I'm looking for 95 leaders around the world to sign it and endorse it as accepting that we're calling for a reformation that's going to accept spiritual experience and heavenly encounters and angelic encounters as the norm in the church. And that was 3 years ago, 2012. I certainly signed it, and it got released. And that was a call for the reformation of the church. And the last 3 years have been huge in what's been going on, because God has started to reform, to change that whole governmental structure, you know, so that, you know, after August, you know, there's a whole lot of things that are going to start to crumble. You know, it's already started. There's a lot of opposition to this stuff out there at the minute, if some of you might be aware of. Some of that's, you know, I'm not going to say, but it's difficult, you know. But actually, this is because the old Moses generation always refused to pass the baton to the next generation, rather than, you know, being the floor for ceiling for the floor. It's like all of a sudden it's, well, no, now we're setting the parameters and we have to control it, you know, rather than release. So, yeah. The gentleman's name? Oh, Mark Verkler. Yeah, he wrote a really good manual called Hearing the Voice of God. But you can, I think, get it on his website, which is, I think it's called Communion in God Ministries. I mean, it's a really good, solid book. I mean, some of it stops a little bit short in that it really sort of doesn't really sort of support the, well, we can do this almost rather than what it happens. But it was basically saying the church has to change, and this change is going to be like a reformation that took place then. So it's a really good book, yeah. So there we go, yeah. What did I say about Melchizedek? My word, that's a question. The order of Melchizedek is the lion, ox, eagle, man, royal priesthood in heaven, king and priest, apostle, prophet on the earth, full reflection of the government of God, and it's the order that we're being called to live by. And the old order, which is the old fivefold ministry order, which should have equipped the saints for service, but actually sat on top of the mountains mostly and didn't, and became mediators, because everyone who needed a prophetic word had to go to the prophet, and everyone went to prophetic conferences to get the word from the prophet, rather than the prophet teaching everyone that we can all hear God without him. Now the apostle bringing the blueprints and the government, and then it's like, oh, we all have to go and we all have to be covered under the covering and all that stuff. Reality is, that's old, and God is not pleased with it, because it failed to equip the body to be able to engage heaven and engage the spiritual realm. It created business, a lot of it, unfortunately. You know, don't want to be controversial, yes I do, but because it's what God's saying. He's had enough of it. You know, 2012 was like, that was the beginning, the end of it. August this year, I think a whole generation that failed to accept the call to prepare for the harvest is ended, and a new generation has risen up, and we're going to be that new Joshua generation who's going to go in, cross over, enter the veil, and encounter the fullness of our spiritual inheritance as his children. And then we're going to see a whole harvest, a billion harvests come in, and it's got to be storehouses for them to come into. This will be one. Your place will be one. Places we're going to equip and train and educate, in give the experience of the heavenly realms, teach them to take their spiritual inheritance, mentor them in being sons of God. Yes. They will then go out and begin to reach the world. You know, but we will be prepared because of all the shaking of all the world systems. all those mountains, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be raised up above all the other mountains and those hills, and everyone will run to the mountain of the house of the Lord, which is the true ecclesia of God, which is going to rise out of the ashes of the stuff which is crumbling. So there we go. Yeah, I need to have a screen around me. Okay.
Yeah. When I met Mike, he's pretty tall, and he said, I interpreted it, you're much taller than you look on TV.
Yeah.
It's always that way. Well, Mike, thank you so much. This has been awesome. This has been awesome. We've been really blessed. I just want to let everyone know, if you would like to bless Mike, he's not wanting this at all. As a matter of fact, he would almost refuse it because he really believes that God's going to take care of him. But I just want to, if you want to sow into what he's doing here in the Northwest, we have a box up here at front, and he will get all of it. And so thank you again, Mike, and we appreciate you taking time away from your family, away from your family of faith, and sowing into Northwest, and we know it's going to be fruit. We really do. We believe that. Thank you again.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. No problem.
Tomorrow, again, he will be at Mountaintop, and I believe, is that at 10:30? 10 o'clock at the convention center. All right. God bless you all. Have a great day. Been wonderful meeting you all.